Go to the passage that Bob read, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to talk about three things relating to the path that we might be on. This is the first. Few people find the right path. Few people find the right path. We are living in a world where everybody thinks they're on the right path. The path that they're on is the right path. Their way to God is the right way. And people believe a whole bunch of different things about God, a whole different bunch of different things about how to get to God, and everybody thinks they're on the right path. But notice what Jesus said here, and if you have a red letter Bible, you can see that it is red because this is Jesus' sermon that he gave on the Mount, probably the greatest sermon ever given. He says, only a few find it. Only a few find the right path. Are you sure you're on that right path? I went looking through the Bible. What I did is I wanted to look at a specific topic. My topic was, how did people come to Jesus? And when they came to Jesus, what was Jesus' response? I think people, as they think about getting on the right path, now let me give you the first one. Some people have fooled themselves. They think they're on the right path when they're really not. Skip down with me a little bit in your Bible, down to verse 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only, and I would like you to underline this phrase, only he who does the will of my Father. Only he who does the will of my Father. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Some people are going to come before God and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. Basically, they're going to say, God, you are my Lord. Word Lord means master. God, you are my master. God, I know you. God, I have a relationship with you. But Jesus said some people on that day are going to say that, and God's going to say to them, get out of here. I don't know you. When he talks about knowing them, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know their name or who they are. It means he does not have a relationship with them. Why? Notice that phrase I had you underline. The people that God knows, the people that God has a relationship with, are only those who do the will of my Father. Some have fooled themselves into thinking they're on the right path when they're really not. You know, they may have raised their hand in a church service, or they may have prayed a prayer, or they may have, you know, somehow said, God, I have a relationship with you, maybe just by going to church or being in the religion they think is right. But they fool themselves. They think they can go to heaven without really following Christ. They think they can go to heaven without really doing the will of God. They think they can go to heaven without having a heart and a life that matches their profession. You know, people who live immoral lifestyles but believe they're on the right path. People who do not put God first in their life but think they are on the right path. People who do not support the local church, who aren't involved in the local church but think they are on the right path. First John in the book of First John said that he wrote the book for those who believe on the name of the Son of God so that they might know they have eternal life. And in that book, he gives a bunch of tests that we can test ourselves with. And as you look at all the tests he gives, One relates to what you believe, and the other 14 or 15 relate to what we do. I want you to know this morning, some have fooled themselves into thinking they're on the right path because they've made a profession. But the profession does not equate with their life. The profession does not equate with their morality. Their profession does not equate with putting God first in their life. And they have fooled themselves. He said here, he who does the will of my Father, he who does the will of my Father is the one who will have a relationship with God in all eternity in heaven. Some others came to Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 19, you can turn there if you'd like. I'm just going to tell you the story. It's about a rich young guy, a ruler, who came to Jesus. And he asked Jesus a question. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Basically, he's asking, "What must I do to go to heaven?" Jesus told him, "Keep the commandments." He said, "I did." The end of the story is Jesus turning to him and said, "Look, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then come follow me. Then come do the will of my Father." The problem was that he had something that was far more important in his life than God, and it was his wealth. And because of his wealth, he really didn't turn to God, he turned away from God. And I want you to know there are people in churches all over America, all over the world, who think they are following God, but in reality, they have things that are far more important than God. Be a house, might be a car, might be their wealth, might be a relationship, might be their money as it was for the rich young ruler. And because of it, they really haven't turned to God. Matthew chapter 23, if you would turn there, there was another group of people. And their problem was not that they thought they were on the right path. Well, they may have. It's not that they necessarily had more important things than God. Their problem was they listened to the wrong people. It's a very interesting verse here in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is talking to the crowds and his disciples, but he's talking about the Pharisees. And he's telling the people there about the lives of the Pharisees. Now, you might think that he was gossiping or backbiting. He really wasn't, because the Pharisees were there. In fact, they don't much like what he's saying. But in the middle of what he says about the Pharisees, in verse 15, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." So the third group of people that I saw as I did my search were a group of people that thought they were on the right path, were headed to the right path, wanted to go to the right path. The problem was they were listening to the wrong people. These people were religious leaders. They were the Pharisees and teachers of the law, the Bible in those days. And these guys would go out, they'd go as far as they could over the world to win a single convert. They were very zealous. The problem was, if you were a convert of a Pharisee, think about it. If you listened to the Pharisees and you were a convert of the Pharisees, when you began to follow them, you became twice as much, Jesus' words, a son of hell as they were. In other words, because they listened to the wrong people, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they were even further away from God than when they had started. Why? They listened to the wrong people. The wrong religious leaders who didn't teach them the right things but taught them the wrong things. Then there was another group. Turn to Romans chapter 10. they also wanted to get on the right path, and they wanted to follow God. They wanted to do the right thing. They were trying to be religious. They were very zealous, in fact, for God. Maybe even more zealous than you or I. But there was a problem. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved. My desire for the Jews is that they would come to Christ, that they would be saved." But notice he says, "For I testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." They sought out God, but because they did not come through Jesus Christ, Paul says, God through Paul says that all that zeal they had was worthless because their zeal was based on the wrong knowledge. You know, we have people on the path to God today who are doing what he called in the video a God quest, seeking after God, but their zeal is based on the wrong information, the wrong knowledge. It's not based on the Word of God, so that the end result is, of all their zeal, it gets them nowhere. They are part of the few, part of the large group that ends up on the wrong path. Here, God speaks of the Jews as a nation in their rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And therefore, they were on the wrong path. Proverbs 19:2 says, "It's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." You know, sometimes you could really want to do something right and really just have a desire to get it done and do it the right way, but because you don't read the instructions, put this bolt in the wrong hole and you put that nail in the wrong place, and the end result is your zeal was worthless. There's another group I found in Acts chapter 17. They also wanted God. In fact, Paul spoke to them, and when he came to the city that they were in, it just broke his heart. Because in the city, they had statues all over the place. They had statues for every god that they thought there was. And all of these statues were all over the city, and Paul saw them, and what he came to realize was they even had a statue there for an unknown god. What they thought was, in case we miss a god, we'll just build a statue for him, that way that god won't get mad at us. What they were doing is what I call the shotgun approach to religion. Shotgun approach to the right way. What they're doing is they're not absolutely sure that the path they're on is the right way, and they're not absolutely sure that the path the other guy is on is the right way. In fact, they're not really sure of a whole lot, but they want to be on the right path. The end result is they just take a little bit of every religion that's out there. It's like people today, they take a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of Islam and a little bit of Buddhism and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They put it all together and they form their own little religion. It's called syncretism. They have all these different thoughts from all these different religions. They pull them all together, and really they end up with their own religion. The problem with that is that only one can be right. You know how people always say that all the religions lead to the same God? Well, if you listen to all the religions, they all teach something different on how to get there. So they can't all be right. And that's why in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, it says, look, there's only a few that are on the right path. The rest are on the wrong path. Now, if you tell someone today, look, if you're not a born-again Christian, you're not going to go to heaven, they will look at you and say, that's not loving. That's awful prejudicial. You know, you can't just believe that everybody else is wrong and everybody else is not going to go to heaven. Bible says only a few find it. And the rest are on the wrong path. So understand this morning that only a few find the right path. in a God quest, in a search for God. I want you to notice the second thing. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 7. And let's read again verse 13 and 14. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. Why? Why should I enter through the narrow gate? Why do I want to be part of the few? Why? You know, I think Martin would probably agree with this. Us Americans are kind of different. You know, other countries, you tell people to do something and they tend to do it. In America, our first response always is, why? Why? Why do you want me to do that? Why am I going to do that? Yeah, you look at this verse and you got to ask the question, why? Jesus standing in front of a whole group of people. And he says to them, look, enter through the narrow gate. Okay, why? Well, follow. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. That leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let me say a second thing about this path, and it's this. The cost of missing the right path is great. The cost of missing the right path is great. Notice what he said. That leads to destruction. If you miss the right path, the end result of the wrong path is destruction. So I would plead with everyone here this morning. As I sometimes do with my own kids. Even though I know they asked Christ to save them and I know that they've made a profession in Jesus Christ and they believe that he's the only way to heaven, there have been times where I've gone back and I've asked them, tell me when you got saved. Tell me when you trusted Christ. And are you absolutely, absolutely certain and sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And why do I do that? Because the cost of missing the right path is destruction. It's bad. You know, it's like you're driving down the road and you come to a Y. And as you come to the Y, as I was telling people how to get to Chris and Tammy's house, I said, look, you're going to cross the bridge, you're going to come to a Y, take the right side of the Y. And everybody who took my directions got it right, except for one person, I won't mention her name. Shannon, I said, when you get to the Y, go right. Why? Because if you go left, you're not going to find their house. You might drive all over the place, but you're not going to find their house. You know, when you're on the path towards God, if you take the right path, man, that leads to life. But if you take the wrong path, you don't just miss a house. The wrong path is destruction. Now, I would remind you what I read in Matthew 7, a few verses down, that says some people are going to go get to heaven, they're going to say, or get to the judgment, say, Lord, Lord, we know you. God's going to say, I don't know you. Why is he going to say that? Because they did not do the will of his Father. Now, you could do many religious things, and it doesn't mean you're doing the will of his Father. Doing the will of God means that you're doing what God wants you to do on a consistent basis, living the way that God wants you to live, and that as you live that life, you're putting God first in your life, and as you do that, you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So I would ask you this morning, are you absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, absolutely certain that you're on the right path? Because I know many who've made a profession in Jesus Christ, but it wasn't real. How do I know that? Because you can look at their life and you find that, well, you can find they're listening to the wrong people. You can find that they're not doing the will of God. You can find that there are other things that are more important to them than God is, than doing what God wants is. And though they may be zealous to do things, they're not always zealous for God. Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can point to a time in your life where you recognized your own sin and you believe that with all your heart that Jesus did something about that sin? And he did it on the cross. And you came to a place in your life where you believe that Jesus, God, Messiah, Lord of the universe, died for you. And that the only way to heaven is to believe that what Jesus did is the only act, the only thing that could be done to save you from your sin. And you called upon him, you asked him to become your Savior. And from that point in your life, you began to live a life that put him first, doing his will. Are you certain that you're on the right path? I'd like to say one more thing. Number three, the path is clearly marked. The path is clearly marked. Turn over with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus said to the disciples, this is the night he's going to be betrayed. He says to the disciples, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring you to where I am. And in verse 5 of John 14, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I can say this. If you are not a born-again Christian, someone who has trusted in Jesus Christ to save them from their sin, that's what it means to be born again. If you are not a born-again Christian, I can say this based on the truth of what Jesus said. You're not on the right path, and you will not go to heaven, and you will face eternal destruction. So are you sure? Are you sure that Jesus Christ is Savior of your life, that he is Lord of your life? Are you sure you're not fooling yourself? Are you sure that God is the most important thing in your life? Because if he is not, maybe the reality that you think you are in is not the right reality. You're listening to the wrong people. Is the zeal that you have to get to God really not based on the Word of God, on the truth of God's Word? And are you sure your approach is not just some kind of shotgun approach where you just kind of think, oh, everybody's going to get there and we're all just on the same path and we'll all just do what makes everybody happy? The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Does not matter the religion you were born in, and does not matter your background, doesn't matter where you came from. The Bible says we all begin lost. We all start out on the wrong path. We have to get off the wrong path and get on the right path. And if you don't get off the wrong path, that means you will continue on it. See, that's the problem. If you continue on the path you're on, or any other path except for Jesus, then you just continue on the wrong path. You have to get off the wrong path and get on the right path and call upon God to save you from your sin because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if you haven't done that, then you don't have a relationship with God. And if your life is not living the will of God, then any prayer or profession you've made is not real. And I would encourage you this morning, make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is indeed Savior of your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask you to just get before God. Just you and Him. You know your heart better than anybody else. I hope you're not fooling yourself. First group I talked about. Are you living to do the will of God? Is God really first in your life? Above everything else in your life, is He first? See, that's what's true of a real Christian. If not, I would ask you right now, right here, to place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you when He died for your sin. Pray, dear God, save me. Save me from my sin. Place my faith in what you did, and I trust you as my Savior. From this day, I will begin to live for you and do the will of God. Father God, I pray that not one single soul will leave here this morning without knowing that they're on the right path. We know there's only right path, and that path is Jesus. He said He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if He's not, then He lied. And we know He didn't do that. So, Father, I pray that everyone who leaves here will know beyond a shadow of a doubt the path they're on and know that that path is the right path. For we pray in Jesus' name.